prescriptions for living, and we started looking at the section on reproducing godly skills, and we finished, let's see here, where did we finish to? I think I got it here somewhere. Reproducing godly skills, yep. We finished number six. Let me see if I've got these listed here for you. The six areas that we've looked at. Okay, yeah. We look first of all at reproducing the godly skill of prayer, reproducing the godly skill of telling the truth, reproducing the godly skill of giving thanks, reproducing the godly skill of forgiveness, and then reproducing the godly skill of edifying, building one another up. And then number six, we looked at the godly skill of submitting. And we talked about how that concept of submitting is misused in fundamentalist circles and primarily is used to put women down. And one preacher even went so far as to preach this, put them in their place. So I'm not in favor of that type of attitude. So tonight, Lord willing, we will cover this one, number seven, the skill of listening. The skill of listening. And we're going to look at some scripture verses here in a moment. But I think one of the really weak areas in our lives is listening. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been driving down the road, had your radio on, and were playing a tape or a CD, and it suddenly dawned on you, had absolutely no idea what you listened to? Or am I the only one that's happened to? Okay, I've had that experience, and I said, where was my mind? It was obviously not on that particular message. I was listening to Reuben Ewart. I listened to half of a 30-minute message, and it suddenly dawned on me I had no idea what he was saying. So I went back, put it back in, and started to begin. And going over, well, we don't listen to God. And sometimes we don't listen to one another. The skill of listening effectively requires, I think, a lot more discipline than talking. And when I use the word listen, at this particular time, I'm talking about hearing spoken words, hearing sound with your ear. But also, you can refer to hearing in relationship to the written word and its efforts to communicate with us. And so sometimes we hear with our eyes. We'll talk about that later. But on the one hand, let's think about listening to the spoken word and listening to what others are saying. Listening to sounds requires concentration, which is why talking on cell phones while driving is considered a dangerous act. When I go to get my flight physical, the doctor puts me in a room, puts a set of headphones on me, and he says, raise your hand when you hear the sound. So he pushes it, and he pushes it, and I raise my hand. So he comes. Then he comes back later and tells me the results of the test. He said, you passed. But he said, you must have trouble hearing female voices because you've lost that really high range there. And I said, yeah. And he said, that might be a blessing. And I said, now, doctor, don't say that. Ask him about that when you go for your flight physical. So on the one hand, I want to think about listening to spoken sounds, listening to what other people are actually saying, and it requires concentration. Luke 10, remember that story where Jesus comes to stay with Mary and Martha and Lazarus? So he comes into the house, and Martha is all excited because a special guest is here. So she runs into the kitchen, and she starts preparing the meal, and she gets all excited. Then she suddenly notices that Mary is not helping her. She comes, and she complains to Jesus, say something to my sister and have her come help me. Jesus says she's chosen the better part. What was she doing? She was listening. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he had to say. Luke 10:39 says, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and listened, and heard his word. Sometimes what is heard has a disturbing effect. Remember when Jesus was preaching to the Pharisees in Luke 16:14, and he talked to them about their covetousness and all of that. The Pharisees, it says here, and the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things, and they derided him. So their response to what they heard was pretty negative. Then there was a rich young ruler who came and said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? You know, and Jesus said, keep the commandments. Now Jesus was not telling him that he had to work to get to heaven. What what he was doing was he was taking him where he was. He believed that he was righteous enough to make it to heaven. So he came to Jesus to kind of get reinforcement. Have you ever done that? Gone to God and asked him to offer support what you've already decided to do? No, you never did that. I know. I'm the only one that does that too. But anyway, it says here, the rich young ruler, Luke 18:26. And when he heard this, Jesus, remember what Jesus told him? Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. What Jesus was trying to show him is what he was really attached to. He didn't really want eternal life. What he wanted is what he already had. So when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So he heard something, and like the Pharisee, he didn't like what he heard, see? So that was his response. But Mary, on the other hand, was eager to hear the words of Jesus. And have you ever, I don't know if you've ever done this, probably my being in education, I probably have done this, and you maybe not have it. But I have gone through catalogs at colleges and universities, and all of the colleges and universities have courses on speech and speaking. Matter of fact, I have taught speech at the university level. And but I noticed when I went online and went to some of the colleges that are listed there, and I pulled up their catalogs, they had no courses on listening. No courses on listening. Listening provides opportunity for informed decision making. Talking doesn't necessarily do so. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down out of the hills, and so he cried aloud, "Behold, the Lamb of God!" And two of John's disciples were listening. They were listening to what John said. And in John 1:35-36, we're told, it says, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And I read that and I said, boy, I wish I could say that people that heard me speak followed Jesus. So listening is intended to lead to accurate responding. We know that information must be decoded. What do we mean by decoded? If you take a speech course at the university level, they have a whole section in there on decoding. What that means is, put it in to where you and I can really get to it here. Decoding means that you take what you hear and understand it and will use the information in your decision making. Decoding. So decoding has to do with understanding. John 6:45, Jesus said, "Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Every man that hath heard and learned. So you can hear without learning, right? Well, I don't know about you. Think about your salvation. I thought on this when I was preparing the message. I heard the gospel in words many times, but I didn't mentally process it and apply it to me. I had a friend, I played football, and I had a friend that I played end, and he played guard, and he would invite me to his church, so I'd go to the church youth meetings. His father was a Wesleyan pastor, and whenever the World Series was on, which in those days, back in the 50s, it was always the Yankees and the Dodgers. It was almost never anybody else. And so we'd go over to his house, and he was a Dodger fan, and so I'd go over to his house, and we'd sit, and we'd watch the World Series, and his mom would say, "Guy, you want to have supper with us?" And I'd say, "Yes." So I called my mom, and I did. But one thing that I remember about that is that every time I went to their youth meetings, the gospel was preached. And I just kind of sat there and endured it and hoped it would get over quickly, you know. And but I didn't mentally process. I heard the sounds. I could actually repeat the gospel to you. And then one day I actually listened to what I was hearing, and I got under conviction. When the invitation was given, I decided to trust Christ as my Savior. And in John 6:60, Jesus had just given his discourse on the bread coming out from heaven. Remember that? And he said some things in there that were pretty difficult to get a grip on. He said, "I'm the bread that cometh down from heaven." He said, "If your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness," he said, "you have to eat my flesh." And they were thinking, whoa, just a minute here. "You have to drink my blood." Whoa, wait a minute. The Old Testament law doesn't allow cannibalism. So they were having trouble grasping it. And it says in John 6:60, many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And they heard the words. but they couldn't process it. They were having trouble decoding. See, they were having trouble understanding it. So heard, and interesting, the word heard and the word hear are the same Greek word. And they're used in the same context, but they both have a different meaning. One means to hear the sound, the other means to understand it. And both words, the word allows itself to be used that way. So we can hear sound and still not grasp meaning. So listening correctly is a tough skill to develop, but it's essential for everything in life, including spiritual development. When I sit in a paramedic course and they're talking about applying certain medications to certain situations, I better not only hear that, I better understand that. If I don't, somebody's going to be in trouble in the back of the ambulance. So I've got to understand it. So to show how important understanding is in the listening process, let's go to the book of Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And let's look at verse 58. Mark 14, 58. And here's what it says. We heard him say, these are people who are giving witness and testimony against Jesus. They want to find him guilty and prosecute him, okay? We heard him say, quote, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. So now they're all saying, see there, he talked about tearing down the temple. He's going to tear down the Jewish temple and he's going to build it back. That's not what he meant at all. He meant that what he was going to do was rise from the dead. And they didn't grasp it. So he was brought to Caiaphas, and these false witnesses testified against him. They heard Jesus say he would destroy this temple and rebuild it in 3 days without hands. They heard the words, but they couldn't decode them. They couldn't really understand them. Did you know that preconceived notions will interfere with correct listening? Preconceived notions will interfere with correct listening. So hearing often carries with it responsibility. Matthew 10:27. Jesus said, "What I tell you in darkness," so he's telling them. Now, if they hear it, they have a responsibility. That speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, if you hear me say something to you, that preach ye upon the housetops. Matthew 10:27. So many people do not listen properly, and here's the reason. Because they do not want to act upon what they've heard. So what they do is they listen to only what they want to hear, and they don't actually implement it. I remember some years ago we had a young woman that used to sit back here in the church, and during the whole sermon, she would be talking to somebody, writing notes, or playing with the little girl that was sitting by her. She never picked up on any sermon. She always walked out and smiled and said, "Good sermon," but she never heard it. I started to ask her one day, "What was it about?" But I used to wonder, I wonder why she comes to church. She obviously doesn't come to hear the Word of God. She heard sounds, but I can dare say that she never heard anything she intended to obey. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, if you're able to hear sounds, then make sure that when you hear those sounds, that you make an effort to understand them. Matthew 11:15. It's repeated in Matthew 13:9. So in other words, decode the sounds into an accurate message and then act upon what the message says. Jesus referred to those in Matthew 13:13 who seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So they had not developed the skill of listening, because if the skill of listening is practiced accurately, it will include understanding. Matthew 15:10, Jesus was about to speak a message on defilement, and he was getting ready to tell them, you know, they were saying you need to wash your hands before you participate in this religion. Jesus said it's not. He said, you know what? He said, what goes in the body defiles, and not what. What's on the outside. So this reminds us that real listening is a developable skill. I can develop the skill of listening. A person under church discipline might hear the words of those on the committee disciplining him, but he has no intention of dealing with the sin that they're talking about. Jesus addressed that in Matthew 18. He gave the process for church discipline. He says this in Matthew 18:17, "If that man shall neglect to hear the church, hear the people, the witness that went to him, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be as a heathen man, the publican. In other words, treat him like he's acting. So if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear, we're told in Revelation 13:9. So we're talking here about sounds, right? But let's talk a little bit here about, excuse me, if we're going to turn this off. Dad, won't you know I love you? Thank you, Green. Turn down. Pardon me. I forgot. I always try to turn that. I wanted to read that thing to you while ago, so I forgot to turn it off. So now, secondly, we're looking here at hearing with our eyes. In other words, what written words are available? Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. Matthew 5, 19. And see what he says here in this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Think about that for a moment. Think about how important that is. So if I'm a pastor of a church, and I tell you to break a commandment that talks about reconciliation, or I harbor people in my church who leave other churches because they're angry and won't deal with sin, I'm actually making myself least in the kingdom of heaven. I'm putting myself way down on that totem pole because I'm not doing it and I'm not teaching it as it is written. I'm teaching my impression rather than what the word actually said. Well, the words do and teach. Listening can include what we read as well as what we hear, because he refers to these least commandments. And these are the commandments that we're seeing. God's word is seen in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, remember? God has spoken to us in these last times through his Son. Remember that? Hebrews 1. God's word is written, Matthew 5:19. God's word is spoken, Matthew 5:44. Jesus said, "But I say unto you." So if he was speaking and they were hearing it. So the word of God is going to be coming to us. We're going to be getting the word of God through the person of Jesus, through the written word, and through the spoken word. And whether we speak of the incarnate word, the written word, or the spoken word, God expects us to listen with the intent to obey. Jesus reminded us in Mark 4:24. Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and what you hear unto you that hear shall more be given. Mark 4:24. Now, I practiced this tonight. Remember what I read you a while ago? I read you a news release from the Board of Deacons at First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. If you go on Facebook and the internet and you Google Jack Shop, you're going to read a lot of gossip. A lot of gossip. I didn't read you any of that because I don't gossip. I have gossiped. Nobody's ever been free of gossip. But I try not to. I don't pass on to you stuff I can't. I mean, if I got something directly from the chairman of the Board of Deacons, I can read that and tell you this is fact. Okay, but I'm not going to. You know, if you really want an education in gossip, just go to your computer tonight to Google and type in Jack Shop. And you will be amazed at the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gossipy statements from people all around the world on there. I'm thinking to myself, why would they do that? I wouldn't put anything on there because I have no idea what's going on. All I'm doing is repeating what the chairman of the Board of Deacons said in a letter to the local newspaper. And you see, gossip, I'm working on this series of sermons on gossip. I think you'll really learn. I learned so much by working on it. I hope you'll learn by listening to it too. So hearing is listening with the intent to obey. Whether we're talking about Jesus speaking sounds, whether we're talking about the written word, or whether we're talking about any other manifestation of truth. It obligates us to responsible action. Hebrews 2:1 says, "We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." And then Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:16, and he warns Timothy, he says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." Now, if you read the entire passage in 1 Timothy, when he talks about doctrine, he's talking about what he's written, what the scriptures say. But he's also talking about what he preached to them while he was there. So two different things that he's mentioned here. So interestingly, these skills of listening, they're important in human relationships as well as our relationship to God. For example, my employer, I have a meeting at the end of this week with one of my employers. If we have that meeting and he has something he wants to tell me, I should be listening to what he has to say. Because what he has to say will probably require some action on my part. Okay? Husband and wife. One of the biggest arguments that ever occurs in husbands and wives is when the wife says, "You never pay any attention to me." One wife told me, she said, "I just wish my husband would sit down and carry on a conversation with me. He doesn't listen to me." What about parent to child? I've counseled with young men who, when they were children and wanted to communicate with their parents, the only communication they got from their parents was criticism and spanking. Friend to friend, neighbor to neighbor. I got an email today from a fellow that said, "I want to thank you for taking that 15 minutes the other night just to listen to me talk." He said, "I was really going through a difficult time. And I didn't do anything but listen. I never gave any advice. I just listened." He got up and he put his arm up on my shoulder and he said, "You're a good friend." And all I did was listen. I didn't say anything. I gave no advice. So people in need of help expect to be listened to. Amen? You agree with that? The disciple, Jesus was a listener. The disciples were in a ship on the Sea of Galilee in a storm, Matthew 14:26. It got pretty feisty out there, the storm did. The Bible said they cried out for fear. The Bible says that Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So he listened and he responded. He set a pattern for us, right? And then Peter, walking to Jesus on the water, he said, "Call unto me if it's you, and I'll come walking to you." So he started going out there, and suddenly the waves got in his vision, and he started sinking, and he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me!" Short prayer. I think it was George Dollar years ago was preaching on this. I think he was preaching on it in this church here. George Dollar, one of the great fundamentalists. And George Dollar said, "You know, sometimes your prayer ought to be short and specific." He said, "If you're sinking beneath the waves, you don't want to say, 'Dear Lord, now thou great God of all the universe.'" He said, "Lord, save me is sufficient." Matthew 14:30. And we're told in verse 31, Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and caught him. And then the two blind men sitting by the wayside, they heard all the noise and they heard the rumors, "Jesus is coming." The Bible said they cried out saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Matthew 20:30. We're told, 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So Jesus gave the example of listening to those who are in need. You know, I think that's been a failure at some point in my life. I don't think I've listened to people as often as I should have. But how about our listening? Matthew 26:36, Jesus came to Gethsemane. He was headed to the cross, so he told the disciples, he said, "Now you sit here while I go yonder and pray." He came back and they were asleep. Their attention span did not include concern for the Savior. And in 1 Samuel 13, remember, Samuel told Saul, he said, "Now God wants you to, he wants you to take care of the Amalekites, but he doesn't want you to bring back the king. He doesn't want you to take any prisoners. He doesn't want you to take any livestock. He just wants you to," he said, "you know, destroy all of it." Well, Samuel reprimanded King Saul for not following directions. You see, Saul heard words, but he didn't obey them. Saul was too self-centered to pay attention to anything the prophet said. He was only going to do, he started out doing only what Saul wanted to do, whether the prophet said it or not. And then Samuel again had to deal with Saul's refusal to listen to God's word. In 1 Samuel 15:1, if you want to go back to 1 Samuel 15:1 and following, following God's instructions, Samuel knew how to listen. The prophet gave specific instructions. So God speaks to the prophet, and the prophet listens. He gives us the example. He said, if God is speaking, we need to pay attention, make sure we understand, and then act on it. So he said, now let me take this message to Saul. Verse 3. He said in verse 3, "Now go and smite Amalek, utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass." So Saul gathers them all together, and then he comes back with the king as his slave, you know, as his victor. And then he comes back with all these sheep and all these cattle and everything. And he tries to tell Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." Samuel says, "Okay, then why is it that I'm hearing oxen and sheep if you obeyed the voice of the Lord?" Well, you know, God assessed Saul's listening ability. And in chapter 15, verse 11, here's what God said about Saul's listening ability. He said, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Samuel prayed all night over Saul. He was heartbroken over the fact that he'd been trying to get God's message to this man, and this man wasn't listening. So listening generally includes responsibility to act. And so basically, if we want to summarize it, we'll take it from the university textbook. Here's what the university textbook says about speaking. It says, hear the sound, decode the meaning, take the action. Well, that's scriptural. God tells us something, we ought to understand it, and we ought to respond to it, right? So I want to give you some principles for developing the spiritual skill of listening. I think we've got a few minutes here. If you go to Netflix and go into the Info Please section, you will get 7 guidelines for listening. And I think you can prove these from the Scripture. As it turns out, I didn't have time to find the Scripture for each one, so I'll leave that up to you, okay? Get your concordance down and start looking through the Bible, and you should have fun, right? Oh, no. Anyway, here it is. Number one, give full attention to the person speaking. That's what the specialists say there about listening. The whole section in Netflix on listening. Give full attention to the person speaking. That means you should avoid distractions, right? Give full attention to the person speaking. Avoid distractions. Number two, make sure you are focused. So there you are avoiding allowing the mind to wander. Make sure you are focused. Avoid allowing the mind to wander. That's number two. Make sure you're focused. Avoid allowing the mind to wander. And then number three, let the speaker finish before you begin to talk. Let the speaker finish before you begin to talk. That means you want to avoid interrupting. Right? Avoid interrupting. So number one, give full attention to the person speaking. Avoid distractions. Number two, make sure you're focused. Avoid allowing the mind to wander. Number three, let the speaker finish before you begin to talk. Avoid interrupting. And then number four, let yourself finish listening before you start to speak. Let yourself finish listening before you start to speak. And there you are avoiding impulsive reaction. Avoid impulsive reaction. Let yourself finish listening before you start to speak. That way you won't say something foolish. You ever heard count to 10 whenever you're upset? That really works. Because what it does, it delays your reaction. Number five, listen to main ideas the speaker focuses on. Listen to main ideas the speaker focuses on. And as you develop your listening skills, that'll be easier for you to do. I know when I went to college and university and everything, one of the things I had to learn to do was to pick up main ideas. There's no way I was going to be able to write down everything the instructor was saying. So listen to main ideas the speaker focuses on. That means you're going to avoid generalizing responses. Avoid generalizing responses. And the reason for that is that because the information you're giving may require a specific understanding and response. So listen for main ideas the speaker focuses on. That's avoiding generalizing response. Number six, ask questions if you do not understand something the speaker said. Ask questions if you do not understand something the speaker said. And there you avoid faking it. I was listening to someone tell me something today about her vacation, and she used something, some kind of statement, and I said, "Wait just a second, Mary Lou." I said, I don't understand that. And she said, well, let me explain it. I said, okay, good. So she explained it to me. Oh yeah, okay, I got you now. So you avoid faking it. You don't want to say that you understood it. You don't want to say you may be laughing at the wrong thing or not laughing when you should. Right? So ask questions if you do not understand something the speaker said. Avoid faking. Number 7, give feedback. Give feedback. And what the feedback does is it shows that you're paying attention. You sit up straight, you look into the speaker's eye, and then every once in a while you say, oh yeah, yeah, good, or you nod, or you say, you know, any indication that you're, what this avoids indifference. This avoids indifference. A person who has spent his entire life studying how people listen. Can you imagine spending your life doing it? Anyway, he said this. I'll give you the quotation. Quote, thoughts move about 4 times faster than speech. You will learn to think about what you are hearing and really understand it when you learn to listen effectively. So listening is the opportunity to demonstrate to another person that you consider that person important. You're important enough for me to listen to you. So, you know, Mary gave full attention to Jesus. Mary excluded all distractions. Mary let Jesus talk. Mary allowed herself to listen without interruption, and she picked up on main ideas. The only thing we don't know for certain is whether she asked questions or put the action that she heard into practice. However, people who do the first 5 things are usually going to be disciplined enough to do the next 2. So good listening skills is one of the strongest ways to develop meaningful relationship. Do you listen to your employer? Do you listen to your wife or husband? Do you listen to your doctor? You know, doctors are now listening more to patients. I think there was a big thing in the news about 15, 20 years ago where doctors were being encouraged to pay more attention to their patients because the patients knew their bodies better than the doctors did. Yeah. So do you as a parent or child listen to the other? Parents listen to children? Children listen to parents? One teenager I was counseling some years ago said, I don't think my parents think I'm important. And I said, why? And he said, they never listen to me. And I said, never? He said, well, most of the time they don't. So do you as a pastor listen to the members? Do you as a member listen to the pastor? And I think over the years I have learned to listen more to what the members are saying. Matter of fact, if you remember, there have been several times I've told you to write down on 3x5 cards sermons you'd like to hear. I remember one lady wrote down on a 3x5 card, she said, you ask us to write down sermons we'd like to hear. She said, well, I'm writing this down, but she said, I don't think I want to hear it, but I think I need to. I said, that was very perceptive. Okay, let's stand for prayer. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God. Help us to develop the skill of listening, not only to you, but also to those who want to have a relationship with us. Speak to our hearts now in a very special way in this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.